let's go ahead and call this meeting over. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Fantastic. This is the time we would ask for public comments. I don't see any public here. Anybody? Okay, no public comment. We'll close public comments and move on to the minutes.
Move approval of September 20 minutes.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Meeting carries. Presentation, staff.
In terms of the water and wastewater update, I believe that that will come through the discussion item.
Looks like it to me, too. Okay. Item one, wastewater master plan population projection. Greg.
Yeah. So Virgil's handing out a table, and Virgil has been working with Mike. So as part of the master plan effort, we have to figure out what's left to develop in Discovery Bay. And back in 2013, we had an estimate of what was left to develop. And this is our new estimate of what's left to develop in Discovery Bay. So some of these have been built, and then some of these, maybe something else happened, I'm not quite sure of. So I'll let Virgil talk through the changes.
And this step here is really important to understand what we have in the way of connections, either to the water and to the wastewater. Primarily, we're talking wastewater here. So in essence, the second column from the right is the numbers that I project, or we project, are left to be, they have been approved, and this is mainly part of Discovery Bay West project. 116 homes yet to be built there. Then under that, undeveloped lots are within Discovery Bay, there are potentially 44 lots. Some homes are built over two lots, meaning that they have a home, but they kept a big yard. So if they decided to sell, subdivide that, they could do that. And so that's what's into that. Pantages, Newport Point, the villages now is this old, this 5-acre site here. There's been talk for a couple of years. Hoffman wants to build something in the way of 80 units, condos/apartments, that type of thing. So that's where that number comes from. There are only two empty lots or undeveloped lots on the golf course left to be built on. 5-acre lots, these are ones that are in our service boundary area, and we're only serving one of them right now today with water, no wastewater because they all have septic. And these are all by, if you look at the across the street from the post office, from Centex heading up north, there are 5-acre parcels right there. Somebody's selling chicken eggs or whatever there in the first house. So that's what that 5 acres are. Mariners Church is a 5-acre site right next door to the fire department, Station 59 there. And so that's within our boundary area. And then also then we talk about office and business parks. I put an asterisk there, meaning that there's limited building there only because of two large natural gas lines that are underground. They are in between those tall electrical towers and then the high voltage lines that are there. You can't build underneath it. You can do like a storage type thing, but you can't build actually a physical home underneath that. So that's what those two 45-acre parcels are. And then I list the commercial ones, 5-acre site, Highway 4, we've got up the front entrance. You've got Willow Lake Church here right next to the community center. And I put community center at 9 EDUs or 9 acres, but it's really 7.
Virgil, those 5 lots that you say,
five.
Those 5-acre lots, are those across from the Centex homes on Highway 4?
No, they are on Bixler Road, past the post office.
Across the post office is Centex.
Mm-hmm. Right? North of Centex, where you turn into Regatta.
Okay.
The first home sells like chicken eggs or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then they have horses.
The only chicken eggs I knew were over on Highway
4. Oh, no, that's one.
Okay, that's why I was going
on. We serve them already with water and sewer.
Right. But, so, That's so on. So on the west side, northwest side of Bixler, then is where the
west correct.
Side of Bixler. That falls into our service area.
We are. Those are in our service area. So it was requested. One of the homes' water well failed, and so they wanted just water from us.
And what about the squats that are further down from the lakes that have talked to us about providing? There's some acreage.
No, that's dead.
Okay.
So just to sort of enhance what we're seeing here is in the master plan, we look at how much water is coming in the door right now. So we say we're full of 1.3 million gallons a day right now. And then we say, okay, how many people, in a simple basis, how many people we got right now? And that's the flow per person, you'd say, right? So what's important then, because we want to project forward, we want to service the needs of the district, right? So we say, well, what's left in the district? And how much additional flow is going to come in the future if that's developed, you know? So what's ironic here, in 2013, you know, we said Hopkin had 722 homes left to build, and we were flowing 1.8 million gallons a day. What this table is showing us is not only did our flows go down to 1.3, we lost 500,000 gallons a day. You built 600 homes during that period, so you increased your population and your flows still went down, okay? And so, you know, normally you would think, okay, if I increase my population, flows should go up, right? Well, obviously the recession and the drought had big impacts on that.
And the water meters.
And the water meters.
So this is a big starting point for us. What the trick question will still be, are we gonna see a rebound in water use per person or sewer generation per person like it was in 2008? Or 2013, you know, or is it going to really, no, this is our current reality and flows aren't going up and they're just going to keep turning down the faucet on the water side. Of course, if you turn down the water side, you need to turn down the wastewater side to some extent, you know, not linear, but to some extent you turn down the wastewater side. But what is important that we want is we're planning to go forward with this document as, well, this is what's left. I mean, it's the reality of 636 homes left in Discovery Bay in terms of residential homes. The business park and stuff, there is a essentially EDU per acre number, because we don't know what it is. It's just this commercial zoned office. It's, you know, so that's just a book number per acre sort of guess at those items, and as well as the commercial. So, you know, long and short of it is, we'll work on the master plan of what the current flows of 1.3 really mean. Is that the new reality, or is there going to see some rebound on that? And then this is what's left. You know, this is the homes that are left. This is what the master plan is going to be for. And this is your current service area for Discovery Bay. So anybody not on this list, so they were talking about the private island homes, you know, or even a portion of the Nun property. You know, we're
talking about Cicchini.
Cicchini property is not in this list. Right. And you know, another 500 or 600 homes or 1,000 homes, that would be a lot. You know, that'd be a lot compared to what we're looking at left. So we're looking for buy off on these numbers from the committee.
Did it include the Hoffman property that was gonna be the community center? Because it plans on
the 12 lots, is that on
there? We discussed it. So that's 12 lots, okay.
Did we discuss it? Did we reach out to the county development department or planning commission and ask if there's anything in them that they saw coming?
You know, they generally would let us know in advance that if they were looking at sort of like Newport Point, let's say, for example, that type of stuff they let out way in advance to let you be aware.
Our estimation is that Newport Point and Vantages is as far out that the only thing they have on their radar.
Greg, how many EDUs do we
potentially
use?
Right. A lot of
how many EDUs do we use at the steakhouse complex? Or Virgil, how many EDUs do they use over there for Todorovic's property?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can.
I'd have to go back and
read that. They
more than five?
I think so. Well, yeah. It might be.
I'm just curious.
Five or 10.
And then the other question.
For a restaurant, it's based on the number of seats. You know, and like, so we look up the book value and we say, okay, this restaurant will see 100 people or see 50 people or 20
people. Okay, well, if
then there's, you know, you get three or four. The restaurant's probably like three or four.
Just curious, because it's about the same size lot as across the street, and depending on what they would use, it would be a good indication. But secondly, I have a concern, because I'm concerned about whether the county is communicating with us, because there's construction going on next door here. It may be a ball field. I don't know what's going on. They never came to us and said, hey, is it okay?
At the church property, right?
Oh, yeah, but that's not the county. That's
Well, hold on a second. You have to get a permit to do any sort of construction. They're doing construction out there of some kind.
Athletic kids run around. And you talked to them?
You know that?
Yeah.
Okay. There's not going to be any grass going in there? They're not watering anything?
They didn't say that was going to be part of it, because if they did, they would be asking for water, and they haven't done that.
So, well, that's what my point was.
There's a water meter or a
So to put a playground into a school, you don't have to get a county permit?
Not that I know of.
I tend to agree that's not true. I think that they're doing work without permits over there.
And they probably are.
And the other part of it is that, that would be my concern. If all of a sudden they're going to start watering a bunch of lawn, that's going to be water usage that we're not compensating for. But again, based on the fact that the county, I mean, if somebody wants to sell T-shirts out of their house, they come to us with a request for comment. So if they're putting in a playground or if they're putting in a field directly adjacent to our property, I would think that the county would say, the other thing that I'm concerned about is that I was told at one point that they would never be able to put use that property for soccer, for fields, that type of thing, because of the stop signs that are there and the amount of smog that's produced by idling vehicles. It was unsafe for the kids. That came out of the county, what's the name of the construction department?
Traffic.
No, that came out of
Conservation Department.
Made that comment at one point when we were dividing the properties up.
And they may not know about what's going on there.
Is that a private development? I'm just not.
It's owned by the church.
It's owned by the church.
Church. Where were we at?
Church.
Okay. So they have not indicated that there's going to be a large amount, because that's a big area to try to water.
2 years ago, they asked if there was water to the property, and I said there is. It's a 2-inch line. You have to just buy a 2-inch meter, and you can connect into it.
So they already have
a connection fee.
They have to pay us a connection.
There's sewer and water connect brought up to the property line.
Yeah.
They just have to connect into us, but they have to get a permit from us to do that.
I don't think there's any sewer development projected right now for the church.
Well, I wouldn't think that that would be the case, but definitely water usage. But anyway, okay, I just was curious if anybody heard anything about, because we didn't get a request from the county to make comments on it or to provide water for it.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
So the last time we did this, we did the master plan, we did our community projections, we issued a draft master plan, had a public hearing, everybody showed up and said, what about me, don't think we're going to be. So it was Hoffman, it was Cantagius, it was, I mean, so we ended up having to revise it, you know, and just sort of recrunch it all, you know, at the last second, because people weren't bought into what it is we're using for future projections. Everyone wants to know their property's picked up and if you need future projections. You know, kind
of, but it's got to be within our current service boundaries.
Yeah, it does. It has to be within your current service boundaries.
Well, I think at this particular point, our telescope is pretty well fine-tuned. We know what the service area is. Majority of it is built out of that one.
The other talking about here. Yeah. And the other thing that you got to keep remembering is this law that the governor passed this past year about the 55 gallons per user that's coming down in 2023. So you've got to keep that in mind. I'm sure these guys on the wastewater side, that'd be maybe less water coming to the sewer plant. But 55 gallons per person, I believe we're using more than that today. But if that's the goal, then our number of 1.3 should drop down.
Well, point well taken, but I'm not too concerned about the less. So I make sure that we have enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that rule could be revised.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's correct.
Yeah, another governor gets in there. And
okay.
It's crazy. And change.
So what do you want from us on this?
So what do you want from us is we're proceeding with these numbers in the master plan, and unless you tell us different, we're going to go do all the work based on these numbers. Okay.
I think it all makes sense to me. Yeah, I think you guys did your due diligence. I'm okay with it.
Okay. All right.
And we would still have, though, a public hearing on these numbers as part of when we present it to the board.
Right.
So we can get another way in later. This is a preliminary.
But as far as in order to get the project.
Right. We're off and doing work on it.
I'm just saying there's still, this hasn't been set in concrete. None of it's been set in concrete.
But it increases the difficulty to fix it later.
But the committee's okay with you moving forward with those numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Item two.
So on the diffuser proposals, I have contacted Worley Parsons and Stantec. We're currently out trying to get proposals to begin the environmental work on the diffuser project. And I have not received written proposals yet. I've had some verbal conversations and people are modifying the proposals, but I have not yet.
So. I thought Trump had eliminated some of that.
Well, not in California. So we need to work on the diffuser. We need an Army Corps permit. We need a quick CEQA analysis. We need a fishing game permit. And we still again need to notify State Lands Commission who we have a release from. Right. So, and then Stantec is working on our NPDES permit.
But this engineer, this environmental research that we need to do is all part of what we budgeted for. It's nothing new or anything like
first
that.
Step.
Okay, very good.
Yeah,
anybody comment? Item three.
This would be Jeff.
Yeah. Virgil and I are both going to talk about this one. This is the well 4A. This is the well 4A one, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well 4A, well 2, yep. Rehab programs.
Then this is multiple pages. Obviously, the first two are pictures of depicting well 4A, the items there associated with that. The second page is well number 2,
yeah.
And that's a well where the motor sits on top of the well.
Yeah.
We only have two of those, well 2 and well 5A, are like that. The existing wells, the pump and the motor are down underground. Depending on how deep we go, a few hundred feet, pump and motor are underground. These are the only two that are above ground. And you have to have a building around the pumps only because of the noise factor. When they start up, they make a lot of noise.
If you want, I could talk about kind of the testing we did, and then just to refresh everybody's memory, and then we just got the costs. And so, Virgil and I were looking at the costs together. So the last three sheets are about the bids that we just received. But just to refresh your memory, well 4 and well 2, okay, you have six wells in your system, right? There's three that serve Newport and three that serve Willow. All of the wells are critical for your water supply. So just explaining that there's six wells in which you get your water supply. These are two of them, two on kind of the older end of the spectrum. Well 4A, when we did the testing last year in October, showed significant signs of capacity drop. So we said we need to do a rehab. It's time for a rehab. It's 22 years old. Typically, rehabs start to occur after a decade. So it's not uncommon. It's not. It's pretty normal to have to do this. Generally, we want to do the rehabs before your capacity starts to decline, because your well structure itself is essentially a filter in the aquifer material. So the last thing you want to do is to clog to the point to which you can't actually get at that gravel material behind the casing. You physically can't get to it. So what the rehab methods are, chemical and mechanical. So we go in with chemicals, we brush, we clean, we try to dissolve whatever the buildup consists of. We take samples first to kind of fine-tune our chemical mixtures that we're using. And then there's swabbing and airlifting to clean up the well itself. In order to do any of this, we have to pull the equipment out of the well. So the equipment itself then is, well, what condition is the equipment? So when we did the testing last year, we saw, well 4 definitely needs a well rehab. We have a 20% decline since 2015. About a 40% decline since 2001, which was kind of a historic number. So we're going to go in and we're going to pull the equipment out in well 4A. The motor, the efficiency of the pumping plant, the pumping equipment itself also has dropped off. But we saw that the bowls, the hydraulics of the pump, the head and the flow, every pump has a certain signature of how much flow it produces at a certain pressure. And what we saw is this one is underperforming to what it was originally did, to what the original pump, catalog pump curve shows. So we're saying, well, there's probably something wrong with the pump, but we got to pull it out and inspect it to see. So with any rehab project, you don't really know until you pull everything out. So what we do is we go and get costs from contractors, line items. We get per gallon cost of chemical, per hour cost of scrubbing and airlifting. We go to the pump guy and we say, what's your cost to pull the pump? Because we know we got to do that. What, hoping the column pipe is in good condition, we'll reuse it. But what's your cost for column pipe right now? What's the steel prices? We look at all the regulations. Can we put this stuff back in? Because regulations have changed quite a bit since these pumps were originally put in. This particular well has one of the best motors that there is out there on the market. It's a Type H Mercury Seal Byron Jackson. They can last, I'll say, forever, because that's what people say. But it's been in there for 20 years.
This well's never been rehabbed.
So well's never been rehabbed.
Okay.
So
this is at Newport.
Is it?
That's correct.
Why is it 4A? Where's 4B?
4A. 4 is down the street here.
Oh, we closed that one down by the steakhouse down there.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I get it now.
You want a 4B?
No, I was just wondering if we didn't have a well 4, why there was a 4A, but we have a well 4 pump house, but we don't have a well 4. Well, we actually have a well.
We've abandoned it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you now.
So we're essentially, we got costs for that, okay? And the point of that explanation is just to explain that it's unit costs for a certain reason. Because it's not like designing a new plant where you're saying we want this piping and conduits and everything is as shown on the drawings kind of thing. This is, we want a process and performance at the end of the day. We want the well to perform a certain way, and it's going to take a certain level of work. And we don't really know what that is until they pull it out. But we do these a lot, and so we put together a program that's, you know, a conservative approach, I would say, kind of like giving it as much as we think it should take, plus a little bit more in terms of the line item costs. The big unknown is the equipment for us right now. So
the condition of the equipment.
The condition of the equipment, right, and whether we can put it back in when we take it out.
So do you think that a lot of the corrosion is coming from where the chlorine injection is occurring?
So that's a really good point. The corrosion that we're seeing on the station piping most likely is related to the chlorine injection.
Because in the classic column, we're hoping that we'll
just clear over it and it looks good.
A lot of times the column pipe can just be cleaned off if the threads are still in good condition. They can thread it back together and put it back down the hole. But if we see corrosion like this on the column pipe, we're going to say we need to replace it.
Yeah. Now the column pipe being
the drop pipe that's hanging the pump inside the pipe, and the water is flowing.
They are 20-foot sections. At the bottom of that is your bolt, what we call the bowls. Think of it like propellers mounted on top of one another, pumping the water up. Yeah. And then you have your pump, and then 20-foot sections of column pipe. I believe that's 10-inch diameter column.
But that's inside of a larger pipe.
That's correct.
Our big concern was the submersible motor, because it's the highest ticket item of this whole thing. For 150 horsepower submersible, the brand that's in there would be exceeding $100,000 for a new motor. There's off the shelf, you know, shorter lead time, different motors, lower quality motors, I would say, we can put in for less than that, but still in the tens of thousands of dollars for a new motor. So my concern initially was it's a Type H Mercury Seal, which isn't allowed to be sold anymore. They've stopped selling it to the water market. It's against the law now to sell products that are used, you know, for public health concerns with mercury.
Can you?
We checked in with the state to say if we're pulling this out and it's in perfectly good condition, all we want to do is rehab the well. But we got to pull this out to do that. And we're just, if it checks out, which there's a process we can do to look at that, we would like to put it back in. And they got back to me and said there's really nothing in the law that prohibits us from putting back in the same motor we've already had in the well.
Even if you have to do some rehab to it?
You cannot sell. What it is they cannot, manufacturers cannot
sell us one to put in there, but if you have one and we can do reconditioning on it.
No, I think at the point of reconditioning, the manufacturer won't recondition.
Okay.
If you have to send it back to the manufacturer, they'll just send you a new motor.
Okay.
They won't. They'll modify that motor. They could take that motor, and there's a cost to modify it to a mechanical seal, which is the type of seal they use nowadays. It's still not cheap,
right,
but it's a lot cheaper than a new motor.
And there are, just so you know, or the committee knows, there are only a couple of vendors in the state that are certified to pull that Byron Jackson motor.
Yeah.
Because of that seal.
Yeah.
Because most people moved away from it because of regulations.
Right.
Some of that, or they just weren't qualified to be able to move safely.
Right.
Which is not used that often anymore.
It's not very common anymore.
All of our
So, but basically, if I understand you correctly, we really don't know anything other than thank you for letting us know that we may have to know something here pretty soon when we get that thing out.
Yeah, and the reason why we got so many different cost numbers, as you'll see here, because we wanted to know if this happens, then what? You know, so we don't have to negotiate a cost on the fly. We already have the predetermined cost from contractor.
Okay.
So we have a cost for column pipe. We did not get a cost for a new motor, and the reason for that is... the reason for that is we're really hoping this motor is just going to work and we're going to put it back in. So they're going to meg it and check the insulation, and if it has continuity, meaning there's no loss of electrical current through the motor, then the seal's intact and we can put it back in.
Okay.
The what will happen if we have to get a new motor for this, and we go to the same company, the same top of the line, top of the shelf, best motor on the market, same manufacturer. They still make them, but they don't make them with mercury seals. It's like a 5-month lead time for those motors. So it wasn't even worth getting a cost for those because that's really not an option for us for 4A. What would end up happening is we'd have to use 5A. 5A is a backup. So if we get into the summer months and 4A has an issue with the motor or something, that would
be... So you're saying the lead time limits the ability to put in that quality?
We would end up probably getting a water-filled motor. Which those are still 10 to 20 year life on them. But there's certain things in terms of the hydraulics that we need to be more careful about. It has to do with the thrust bearing on the motor. But there's specific motors that we can use for this, but we'd be very careful in what we're selecting, and it would be a lower cost, lower lead time. That would be the solution. We didn't even get a cost for that just because we're just hoping it won't happen. But if it does, then it will end up having to get a cost for it and let everybody know. So.
So do you want to look at the costs for...
So that's 4A.
These are costs that we recently got from a contractor?
Saying that this is going over our CIP budget.
Yeah.
If those add,
no matter what?
No matter what.
If we do add the items, for example, is on this third sheet down, you talk about the budget analyst for well 4A and well 2. We start off with the base cost. Those are the bids and quotes we got from a firm. The engineering is Ludolf Scaminelli. The pump contractor is Kirby Pump and Repair, who's going to pull the motor and put it back in. And then the possible adders are things we may have to add, depending on when we pull that pump and motor out. We may have to do work. The well contractor is the guy who's going to put the chemicals in, scrub the inside of that, pump it out, that type of thing. And so his adders are very little. He just may have...
If it's not cleaning up, we'll say...
Because we don't know what the condition is until we get it.
If it's not cleaning up, we're going to say spend another 8 hours.
And then well 2 is the same. Well 2 is the same thing.
Do it if we need to.
Yeah.
While we're in there doing it, we make sure it gets done right. So
we still have to test the well.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of all this.
Then go to your fourth page down, the well contractor bid prices.
Yeah.
And that's your Roadrunner, and then another company came in, but Roadrunner was the least expensive. And so those are their prices to do the various steps that they require to. And the only thing that's going to really change there, we believe, might be more time, as Justin had said, because of unknown how much calcium is built up on the screen down below?
So we have gallon costs, hour costs, and you know, material costs and everything from Roadrunner. First thing that's going to happen is Kirby's going to pull the pump. Once we get the two contractors on contract, once we buy off on contract and we get them going, we schedule them, right? We schedule them both. Kirby pulls the pump. He collects a sample from the scale on the well. And with that sample, we're gonna revisit the chemicals. And if we think we can lessen it or if we have to increase it based on what we see in the well, then at that point, that's the first point at which we might change the basis of Roadrunner's costs to say, hey, we need you to add more chemicals or we need to change the chemical mixture. Then it's a matter of, once we have the chemicals figured out, it's a matter of time. How much time does it take? And Roadrunner's a really good contractor. They're not the kind that's, you know, yeah, they have an hourly rate, but they're billing, you know, 10 hours and they're spending like, you know, two of those eating their sandwich or whatever. They're billing for actual time that's out there. And we monitor that too. But it is an hourly cost thing. We set forth like a 6-day program. You know, it's like, here's the hours each day. Here's the chemicals that you put in. Here's the process. And that's what they bid on. So, again, I think we make sure there's enough in there based on what we typically see on rehabs.
Okay, so cool.
That's for it.
Okay, now let's go to the last page. That's the one we want to talk about, if you don't mind. And this is the one from Kirby Pump. So the first item, 1, 2, and 3, that's the normal. You pull the pump, you do a video survey, meaning you drop a video camera down into that. We video that so we can see what's going on there. And then to reinstall the pump.
Okay.
Now, when we reinstall it for 4A, we plan to drop that in further down 80 feet. So it means we've got to add 4 more 10-inch column pipes to that.
Yeah, that's right.
4 more 10-inch column pipes. You got in it, and the new code today is on the column pipe, the inside has got to be epoxy coated. With the existing few hundred feet, it is not epoxy coated. So the state may come back to us and say they have to be epoxy coated. We don't know.
Right. So that's something I do want to still verify with the state. It's kind of an asinine requirement. There's a requirement for every product in contact with water to have this NSF 61 certification, and a lot of products do have that, but with pumps, the steel column pipe has always just been raw steel, that drop column pipe, and that's been fine in the industry. You know, there's been no issues with that. So this NSF 61 thing has kind of slowly umbrellaed or blossomed into the whole community, getting more and more kind of its teeth in there, I would say, because what they require now, that the regulators have kind of caught on to, this is what's happening. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, that's the way it's been done for forever, right? Just carbon steel pipe, right? Is they want it coated with a paint system that's NSF 61 certified, because you can't get steel certified. You can't get carbon steel certified because it's a batch thing. It's like, you know, it's made new every time, right? And so it's a process driven thing. For whatever reason, they can't get bare column pipe certified, so they said, well, you paint it then. That's what the state came back and said. Then get it coated. So now what everybody's finally kind of falling in line with is we have to pay this extra cost that nearly doubles the cost of the steel to get it coated internally and externally to protect it from being in contact with our raw groundwater, right? Because it's in contact with, it's essentially, eventually drinking water, right? Point is I got two costs here because in any new project where we have a permit with the state, it's all brand new materials, everything has to comply. There's no question about it. We just specify it that way. Give us coated column pipe. We know it's an exorbitant added cost. But in this case, we want to go back to the state and say, hey, we're just doing a rehab. We're going to put this stuff back in. If we get new column pipe, you know, are we required to coat it and connect it with that old column pipe? Because they can't make us go and change our old stuff, but they can force us on new stuff to comply with new regulations. So anyway, we got both costs in there. It's what he had. What did he have here? Coated column pipe was an add of $850 a stick, and the cost for the stick alone is $1,300. So it goes from a $1,300 piece of pipe to a $2,000 piece of pipe,
yeah,
just to get it covered. Mm-hmm.
So about $2,300 per 20-foot section.
We got the cost, just hoping that we can just do bare column steel. And on one hand, we don't even really need to get a permit from the state for any of this stuff, except for if they ever asked, we would have to provide information. If they ever said, hey, you let that happen, you got to pull it out and put this stuff
in. They do ask us once a year if we do maintenance in the way of pulling them out.
Oh, they do.
That's a once-a-year thing.
Yeah.
Generally in March,
yeah,
they'll ask us, what type of work did you do?
Yeah.
And we would then report, this is what we did,
yeah,
at that time. But another add-on cost is when you put motors and pumps down below, you have to feed electrical cable down that. And the electrical cable is on the outside of that column pipe. And so when it goes down, you strap it along the column pipe.
Right.
Every time you're adding a 20-foot piece to it. Because we're adding 80 feet to that, now we have to either splice or put in a brand new cable. Mm-hmm. And that's why the cost of the cable is in here for that electrical pipe.
We have the cost in there is for the splice, just add 80 feet and splice it, but if that existing cable doesn't mag out, if the insulation isn't good, if it's damaged, we'll probably have them just replace the whole thing. Because that splice is going to be wet, it's going to be underwater.
Yep. And then the next thing is, well two is another situation there where that's, based on the pictures, you see that's an above pump,
right,
that's
right
within the building, and that one there, generally you use what they call water lube, lubrication. You put water in there to lubricate the bearings in the shaft. This one's oil-based. It's vegetable oil. That's a lubricating mat.
It's food-grade.
Food-grade vegetable oil, and so on the top of that aquifer water, probably a foot thick,
yeah,
or more, of vegetable-grade
feet,
oil.
It's feet.
Huh?
It's feet.
Is that it?
Yes.
Oh, why?
It's hard for us to measure the water level.
Yeah,
it's lots of oil.
Pretty thick, a lot of oil in there.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it floats.
When
right.
So when we pull this thing out, we'll probably have to replace this motor,
yeah,
with a water bearing type and
you
not oil.
You definitely have to, actually. They don't allow you to do water or oil lube in drinking water wells anymore.
Right.
So pulling this pump,
they are maybe not,
means replacing it with a water loop pump. Now the reason we're deciding to pull this one, we got costs to pull this one anyway. The reason that we did that was, for a few years it was always hard to actually measure the water level in it because of the oil that was floating on top, so we really couldn't tell how the well was doing. This last time we put a transducer down there which seemed to measure it really accurately. We made it through the oil, it just measures pressure on top of it, we downloaded the data. It actually looks like the well's capacity is still pretty healthy in terms of it hasn't really changed much since it's been in there. And this is the oldest well in the system, it's like 47 years old. But we are seeing the efficiencies from the pump and the motor dropping off significantly. So that means there's something wrong with the pump. It's not mechanical or it's hydraulic. It could be something with the line shaft, the bearings. Essentially, this pump's been in there for like 20 years, and it's really not that surprising that, you know, that the pump needs to be maintenance. So the decisions are: you can either leave it in there as is, let it go until it's not working, which could be in the middle of summer or something like that, at which point you got to pull it and do all this work, or you just pull it out now while we're getting into the low demand season. We're also going to do work on 4A, replace the pump with the water lube. So we put a rehab program together for this, because again, we don't really know until we pull the pump out. Again, we're going to do a video, but it doesn't seem like Roadrunner needs to do that much on this well. We would have Kirby pull the pump, bail the oil, drop a video down there. Roadrunner would do some chemicals and brushing for a day, and then we, you know, put the new pump back in. So the big concerns with well two is do we want to upgrade everything essentially? So we're looking at the pump only versus kind of looking at all the electrical equipment that's there. It's pretty old.
The electric equipment would be 47 years old too.
The switch gear. I don't think the electrical stuff was upgraded when we did the pump 20 years ago.
It's original.
It's original.
Yeah.
just from an operational standpoint, opinion would be that should be a whole separate project where you just rehab the whole thing, because the electrical needs to be done, needs to be either for the BFD or soft start there.
Well, we put costs in there in case we had to, because that cabinet today does not meet the electrical code standards for arc flash. That's correct.
Right. And the whole generator needs to come out there.
And if you're changing out the motor, you better go to a better energy efficient motor, and then if that's the case, replace
it. Yeah, it would still
start the firehouse right now.
Yes.
It could lead from one thing to the other. You know, right now we look at it and we say, you know, we could just replace the mechanical parts, the pump, and put the old motor and connect it back up to the old switch here. Just, you know, that part's still working, put it back together, but it's not to code. You know, it would be kind of like the right thing to do is to upgrade the whole site, right?
Is there a price here to do that?
Yep.
Well, we have costs from the pump contractor that they went to Tesco and got prices to put in a brand new soft start panel. So that is in the possible adder's cost here. The issue is we didn't actually design anything. I mean, we didn't have our electrical engineer put a plan together and put something on which for him to base his bid. We just asked him, hey, what would it cost me for a soft start just so we can get the ballpark? So he gave us a cost, but we still have to evaluate, well, what is it they're proposing, how our electrical engineer get involved. And so what I put here as possible adders is kind of everything, you know, for us to look at what they'd be proposing, upgrading the whole electrical system and the pump and the mechanical system. So that's
100, based on when you say a total rehab, like Bernie's talking about, you're talking $133,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Are you looking for guidance from us at this point, a recommendation?
I think what we're looking for at this point is, Bernie, you were just saying that your preference would be to actually put this project off and not...
Because I'm just going to pull the well and put the well back. So
we can't put the same motor back in.
Yeah, but once you want to rehab it, you do all that over again.
Right, so what we'd be looking for is to do a complete, you know, proper rehab, we need to make sure there's enough budget. So right now we're over. If we said we're going to do everything that we need to do on both sites, we'd be over budget by over $100,000. So it'd be going to the board saying we want approval for a contract for Kirby's Pump Mechanical and Roadrunner to do the rehabs, but we also want to do kind of a budget amendment for this contract, knowing that the cost could potentially fluctuate when we get in there because we don't know what we'll find until we open it up. So right now, there's not even really enough budget for the base costs to do more projects.
I get that.
When we did our five-year forecast,
right,
our rate study, is that with CIP numbers that are in there? Was that this project, these two wells, in the five-year study as far as to redo?
It was in the CIP. It's in the CIP.
There's $75,000 for each.
Right. But when we did our rate study, was this part of the rate study?
I don't know if this was part of the rate study.
I think that it is, but I don't know for sure.
I can't believe that I can understand if it wasn't, but knowing that we just did the rate study 3 years ago, right?
15?
3 years ago.
And I believe these figures were there in that study, but I'm not positive.
These same numbers have been tied with these items since they were on the 75.
Right.
I think the 75 is a great study, but I don't think they have additional dollars.
Right. No.
Right. Okay.
So,
When we're seeing costs go up, steel prices are affecting a lot of bids that we're seeing.
Well, and that's due to the tariff situation right now. Hopefully with a year and a half, things settle down a little bit.
The other thing that is true is when you put out a five-year CIP or things like that, generically, we've caught this on a couple of wastewater items where it is like a filter job. I mean, when you have a pretty expensive item and you get a price now, but you don't build it for 5 years or 7 years, inflation pushes that price up, you know what I mean? So that price doesn't remain static. Inflation marches by. And so,
I understand that.
Some of these prices were set 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
You know. Well,
what is the time frame But let's say we have the money. We don't, but let's say we did. What would be the time frame to do it?
3 months, three to 4 months.
Work would be
all
done,
3 to 4 months.
This work would be done before summer. Mm-hmm. Right, that would be the objective for 4A and 2, so you get them both done in the fall or months.
Right. And your suggestion, Vern, is to hold off on
Do four, and come back and do a whole thing for well two.
Which I think you
could
do.
But how much time, what's the life expectancy of well two? Is that a year from now?
Oh, of the whole structure, like the well itself? Like
all, doing all the stuff that Vern suggests, you know, do the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What would be the life expectancy of the upgrades?
How far can we push it down the road?
Yes, that's tough to say. I mean, like I said, we were seeing efficiencies drop off last year. So it depends on what's causing that to happen. If there's, you know, we could potentially look into doing a vibration, another vibration test, see if it's an alignment issue. We could try realigning the motor. It's more than likely something that's down with the pump itself, and the pump is just starting to wear.
Let's do a different scenario. Let's just say that we take Bernie's suggestion. We hold on to because of the way it accumulates funds and movement, whatever we're going to do.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that pump goes down.
Yeah.
Can we just go in there, not do all this fancy stuff, just go in there and get that motor up, put it back in, get it back up online?
Yeah.
And live with it until we can finally get that money.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's the pump-only option that we have here, where we wouldn't touch the motor or the electrical systems. We would just go in there, pull it out. You'd have to bail oil to all that stuff that we have. It would be the base cost that's in here, basically. You'd get a new water-lubricated pump. You'd reuse the motor, reuse the electrical system.
How much would we be doing again when we now know that we have to go through and rehab it? How much of that cost would we be repeating in the next fall?
Probably not much, actually. If you were in an emergency scenario, you could probably pull everything out, replace the downhole components, connect it back up, and then do the above-ground rehab, which is the higher-priced items, the electrical systems in the fall.
And then I guess my question is, where would we get the money next fall that we don't have this fall?
Well,
it's still not in the budget.
Well, time is on our side because we're accumulating money as fast as possible.
Yeah.
We just have to push off on the PRP project.
We do have the money in reserves. I mean, this is, we're talking $100,000 extra. We have money in reserve. And this is what reserves are for sometimes. And maybe it's just get her done.
I tend to think it's get it done. That's what I would lean towards.
Well, I believe it's
done.
That's what I mean.
If this were a well that
I pull $100,000 out of reserves, $110,000 out of reserves, and do both and get them up, because as we said, every time we kick the can down the road, it gets more expensive.
Yeah. If the conditions were different, say we saw a decline in the capacity of the well, when we got that water level data, the well's 47 years old, we might say it's a lost cause and don't put money into it, just let it keep going, until it's not, and then plan for a small well replacement for well two. Because you kind of need that well with Willow Lake, the way it operates that.
Right.
It allows you to maximize your capacity at Willow Lake.
Right.
But it's just that it seems to have always been a reliably good producer. The efficiencies are dropping off. Now's the winter time. That's the time to get stuff done, basically. But the costs are higher than we originally envisioned.
So what's the decision? Just do it?
We have to bring it to the board.
What are we going to bring? We're going to bring to the board a complete rehab of two, and then the recommended upgrades to four. We'll pull that out and see where we're at.
I think, if I understand the conversation, a complete rehab of two is more than $100,000.
Yeah, it's
$100,000 over budget.
Over budget.
But this budget that you have here, talking, listening to Bernie, doesn't include a new stop-start.
It does.
It does.
It does.
But it isn't. Doesn't include everything else for arc flash and things like that.
Yeah.
The 132,000.
The engineer hasn't looked at it.
That's what I'm saying. Is he hasn't looked at it.
Right. So I'm just saying.
But I assume the cost for him to look at it and to make any adjustments.
You got $15,000 in there for engineering.
Okay.
Right.
So that's part of that.
So you think that with this little extra budget that you have listed here for well two, it would be the complete rehab that Bernie is talking about?
Well, it's just doubles the budget, over doubles the budget.
Yeah. Well, I know. I'm just trying to understand apples to apples.
By complete rehab, the components we're talking about is the starter, the motor, and the pump. That's the complete rehab we're talking about. We're not talking about anything to the building, anything to the above ground station piping or the instruments. So it's not a complete rebuild of the pump station. Mm-hmm. It's the new downhole equipment, the motor, and the motor starter. So a new panel for the motor starter.
Is that what you're talking about, Bernie?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
We need to move that old generator out there.
Well, that, there was a cost. We had a line item in there.
We don't need to move it out. It'd be nice.
We had a cost to get that.
It's just
in the way, and it's all just underneath.
That's a minimal.
But it's not hurting anything.
Hey, Mike, the question, I don't know if I answered or not, but okay, let's say we do that. We take the reserves, we do both of them, get them all done the way they should. Now, we forecast out how long before, what's the average life expectancy from this point forward?
Yeah, the average, that's a really good question, because we're kind of at that point with this well, right? It's 47 years old. Average life expectancy for wells is 50 to 70 years, but that's not to say they don't go longer. And
right, so
the sign of the on this well is that it is a good producer.
So the decision for the board will be that if we spend this money now, this well realistically should go at least 35 years.
At least 20 years more.
Could, correct.
Right.
I mean, from this point
forward, 20 years. Right. I would say 35, because that gets you up towards 75 years.
Yeah, I would say I wouldn't expect to get much more than 10 to 20 years out of this well. That's what I was hearing.
That's
how I would think about this well, is it's already had 50 good years, and it's still doing good. And that's why we would say it's probably worth putting it into it rather than looking to a replacement well for well two. Well, it is
all right,
well.
So 10 years from now, we're going to have to think about
a replacement well. Oh. Yeah, 10 to 20 years we're looking at.
So that's $130,000 to put off $8 million for a new well. Right?
A new well would be.
How much is a new well?
How much is a new well?
Oh, about two.
How much was well seven? About two. That came under two, but it'd be used two.
Okay, 2 million. Sorry, my bad.
A similarly sized well would be cheaper than seven in today's numbers.
Yeah. Okay.
It's cost.
It's going to be a little bit more because of inflation and all that. But we're putting off a considerable expenditure.
We're buying 10 to 15 years worth of time in order to analyze.
And let the next board decide when they're going to put the well.
It doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with the well. It's just the equipment, and so it's. Is perfectly reasonable in this scenario, I think, to put it off and just wait for something to break and then go and get it done. It just could be at a time that's inconvenient in terms of demand.
So I would rather be proactive than reactive.
I appreciate that.
Once you're reactive and you're forced to do something, the contractor knows it, the numbers go up.
Yeah.
So are we in agreement then that we can take this proposal to the board with our approval to do a full rehab on two and do what needs to be done with four?
Utilize the reserves.
Utilize, have it knowing you have to utilize the reserves and let the board know.
And the reserves are just for just for clarification, we may not have to dip in reserves because
we just have to let the
bottom line budget.
Yes.
So it's the total CIPs that we're due for this year. And if we're saving a little here,
but we need to let the board know that possibility is there. It's part of the recommendation from this thing. Do you have that? You got that down, Carol? What our recommendation? Okay. Moving on to item four. Thank you, John. I think
I hope that was helpful.
No, I think we explained it. Thank you for your input too, Bernie. Item four.
All right. We're
gonna item four within this one. At 5 o'clock, she's on overtime.
All right. So we're gonna make it quick.
You gotta get the bar.
We can save this for discussion next time. Just kind of an overview. We're looking ahead at three of the bigger water supply treatment storage CIP projects that were envisioned in the master plan. So that was Well 8, the storage at Newport, and the filter at Willow Lake. So the big pictures there is that they're not all necessarily related to the demand. Well 8 is a reliability well, and the reason that it's still on the CIP is because Well 5A has shot signs of severe degradation. Well 5A has water quality issues that violate drinking water, right? So we don't even use 5A. It's just there on paper as an emergency well. 5A also has high maintenance costs potentially coming up to keep it in that state.
Yeah.
So the plan has always been to 5A's lost cause and have the well 8 as a replacement well. That's the story with well 8. The story with storage at Newport is it's been a safety issue that was identified in the master plan. So it wasn't the safest storage at Newport wasn't necessarily for growth in the system. It was that when we did the modeling of the master plan, we identified a fire at Safeway would result in Newport having to provide a majority of that flow, and there would have to be the storage there in order to maintain the pressure during that fire flow. And as it is today, the way those tanks are used are peaking tanks. When the output from the plant exceeds the input from the filters, that's what those tanks do. And when we look at what that output is, it clearly eats into what should be there for fire reserve. And so that's when we proposed in that master plan doing a triplicate, a third tank. You know, there's two smaller tanks out there doing a triplicate one. So that's still on the CIP, and that's supposed to be coming up in a couple of years. Well, eight we're supposed to be working on right now. Then the third project was the filter at Newport. And the filter at Newport, no, I'm sorry, Willow. Filter at Willow was envisioned as related with the growth in demand. It was related to needing more treatment capacity in the system to meet the future build-out of 10 MGD, which is what was projected when we did the 2012 master plan. So the current maximum day demand is 8 MGD in terms of what was estimated based on historical water use. And I think today, when I was looking at the daily records from Bernie, they had 5 MGD, and several years ago it was 6 MGD. Right before the conservation, the plant was doing 6 MGD, right? So it would seem like maybe we don't need the filter, possibly. But when we look at that crystal ball, and when I'm looking at that anyway, in terms of what our targets are for projections, and it comes back to what we were talking about with wastewater, obviously on water, it's different because there's outdoor water in use, which with conservation was drastically reduced, right? But when we're seeing reductions in annual consumption, that's what conservation is after. It's after your annual water use. That's purely what it is, taking less water out of the basin altogether. But it's not after your maximum day usage. Those relationships aren't linear. So when you see reductions annually, that's not directly proportional to a reduction in your maximum day demand. So when we kind of look at, well, what is the 2020 targets in terms of the urban water management plan and reductions, and what are the potential ranges of maximum day demands? It's still really close to call whether that filter at Willow would be needed or not. It's like a 50-50 shot, really, you know, in terms of the numbers that I'm looking at anyway. And it's not a huge increase, but what it would provide is a lot of flexibility at Willow today. And so that's when Bernie was saying, well, we probably don't even need the tank. If we were to actually do this project, we probably don't even need that tank. He would get more capacity with 4 filters.
Wouldn't need to replace the washout tank?
You could do it with that tank by staggering their backwashes. So he wouldn't have as much.
That's the biggest. That's one of the biggest issues.
Why don't we set this up as a separate item for another project? Spend a little more time. Because it sounds to me like we're going to push that decision off a ways anyway.
It's a little bit. Yeah. I mean, what it's related to is I want to talk about it next time because it's related to other concepts that we're coming up with take all three projects together and just simplify them and reduce the cost altogether.
And which also includes not moving the aqua having to move the
right.
Yes. But that's what I'm saying, we're going to move the tank together. A lot of other things involved.
Why don't we set up enough time to have that global?
Do it next time.
Yeah. Okay.
We have time to do
that. Sounds good.
All right. That's a future agenda item. Any other future agenda items? Please get forward to Carol.
CIP strategy.
Anything else from anybody?
CIP water strategy.
Yeah, I'll have the proposals for the diffusers next time.
Thank you. Great. Anything else?
And you're going to start drawing up the costs to present to the coal board on doing what we discussed today.
Yep, to do the coal rehab, to have enough sufficient budget to be able to do the rehab.
So I want you to go ahead and move forward with that.
Okay, I'll do that.